Hey everyone, ever get this feeling that like what goes around comes around, especially in the markets? So today we're diving deep into market cycles. You know those booms and busts that just make the headlines and sometimes unfortunately drain our bank accounts. But like what if there was a way we could spot those patterns early, like almost having a financial crystal ball?
Well, that's where really understanding history becomes your secret weapon. You see, because even with all the sophisticated tech, all the stuff we've got today, the driving force behind these market cycles, it really hasn't changed much at all. Human psychology.
Oh, so interesting. Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. Our source today makes a pretty bold claim. They say, just as sure as, young generations come along from time to time and, maybe bring back some questionable fashion choices with them.
They say markets are going to have their ups and their downs.
But are we really saying that, like, market trends are as predictable as, like, bell bottoms coming back in style?
Well, in a way, yes, and that's because these trends are driven by people. And our reactions to, especially to things like greed and fear, they're surprisingly consistent. So whether we're talking, the Roaring Twenties or the dot-com frenzy or even the more recent crypto craze, investors tend to repeat these same patterns over and over.
So what you're saying is taking a peek back in time, that can actually help us make some smarter moves today.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit more about this whole market historian concept. What can we learn from some of those big crashes? 1929, 1987, 2008. Like, what were those biggies?
Well, each one has its own unique elements, of course.
Why, of course.
But if you take 1929, for example, I mean, rampant speculation, that fueled this bubble, and then even the smallest little dip caused this panic selling, which turned a downturn into this full-blown crash. Fast forward to 1987, we have program trading. And this was brand new at the time. And it actually accelerated the sell-off, showing just how new tech can amplify those boom and bust cycles. And then 2008, well, that one reminds us that even these complex financial instruments, they may seem safe, but they can hide really dangerous systemic risks.
So we're starting to see like some of those common threads here. We're talking about speculation, new tech coming in, kind of changing the game, and sometimes, just not really understanding the risks that we're taking. But how do we actually connect those historical dots, those threads, to what's happening in the markets right now today?
That's where understanding a little bit about behavioral economics can really come in handy.
Okay.
It's about recognizing those biases that we all have as investors.
Hold on, before we go any further, because some of our listeners might not have added behavioral economics to their cocktail party banter yet. So can you break that down just a little bit?
Essentially, it's just the study of how, our emotions, our cognitive biases, even social influences impact our economic decisions. Have you ever heard of FOMO?
Oh, FOMO is real.
Right.
I've bought way too many concert tickets because of FOMO.
Sure.
Is that kind of what fuels these market bubbles?
Precisely. Precisely. Think about the dot-com bubble, right? Everyone was piling into internet stocks, terrified of being left behind. Prices soared. And it wasn't always because these companies were fundamentally sound, but it was because of that collective, this time it's different mentality. And we've seen it time and again.
History repeating itself.
Absolutely.
So how do we actually go from like, understanding these historical rhymes, maybe some of our own psychological quirks, to actually using those to make smarter investment decisions?
Well, it's about developing a system, like a framework for looking at the markets. It's almost like learning a new language. Once you understand the grammar, then you can start forming your own sentences.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So give me the basics of this like investor language. What are we talking about here?
So one key principle is recognizing when a market is what we call overheated.
Overheated.
Yeah. Are prices rising because of like genuine value? Or are we seeing the hallmarks of a bubble fueled by, that FOMO we were just talking about? And this is where that historical knowledge that we've been talking about, this is where it becomes really, really invaluable.
So let's say there's this hot new sector, right? Everyone's buzzing about it. Everybody's throwing their money at it. How do I, as an investor, kind of like cut through the hype? How do I figure that out?
Well, that's where you got to put on your detective hat a little bit, right?
Oh, okay.
You compare it to past cycles.
Right.
So you ask yourself, are the valuations that you're seeing, are they realistic? based on, you know, these companies' earnings,
yeah.
their growth potential?
Mm.
Or are they kind of outpacing any reasonable expectation, like we saw with the dot-com companies, you know?
Right.
A lot of them had more hype than actual revenue.
Right, right. Because this time it's different. Usually yeah. isn't. But let's say even after I've done my historical analysis, I'm still tempted to jump on that bandwagon.
Sure.
What's my next line of defense here? What else can I have in my investor toolkit?
Well, this is where diversification becomes absolutely crucial. You're essentially acknowledging that you don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
No one can predict the future perfectly.
Right.
So you spread your risk.
Okay, so that's the whole, like, don't put all your eggs in one basket kind of wisdom.
Exactly. Even if you are convinced that this particular sector or this company is really the next big thing,
yeah.
you hedge your bets. You maintain a balanced portfolio with, you know, exposure to different asset classes, different industries, different geographies even.
So I'm channeling my inner historian.
Yes.
I'm diversifying like a pro. Anything else I should be keeping in mind here?
Don't underestimate the importance of risk management.
Oh,
even if you've made, you know, what you think are smart choices. Market downturns, they're inevitable. Remember all those crashes we talked about?
Right.
They'll happen.
They do happen, yeah. That's the part that always makes my stomach churn a little bit.
Yeah.
So how do we protect ourselves when those inevitable dips come along? This is where I think a lot of investors, especially, you know, newer ones, maybe they get a little tripped up, right? Because we get so focused on what to buy. But knowing how to manage the downside, that's huge.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One tool that can really help you sleep better at night is a stop loss order.
Okay. For anyone who just heard that and thought, wait, stop what?
Right.
Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, it's actually simpler than it sounds. So basically, you set a predetermined price, and at that price, you would automatically sell a stock if it drops to that level. Think of it like kind of like an insurance policy against those sudden market swings.
Okay. So even if I'm not like glued to my screen every single minute of every single day,
right.
this is something that can kind of help me limit those potential losses.
Exactly. It takes some of the emotion out of it, which can really be your worst enemy during a downturn.
Fear and greed, right? Yeah. All those emotions.
Exactly.
All right, so we've got all these tools in our belt now. We're talking about understanding these historical cycles, recognizing maybe some of our own biases, diversifying, managing risk. So let's bring this all together. Let's imagine there's this buzzy new social media company. Everyone's saying this is the next big thing. Valuations are sky high. Knowing what we know now, how do we approach this?
Well, first, you resist the urge to get swept up in all the hype.
Okay.
So instead of thinking this time it's different, right?
Right.
Ask yourself, what rhymes with this? Does this remind me of, say, you know, the dot-com bubble?
Oh, okay.
Are the valuations justified? Or are we potentially seeing just a repeat of history here?
So I'm putting on like my historian's hat. I'm looking for those patterns. And let's say my spidey senses are tingling a little bit, but I'm still a little intrigued by this company. What do I do then?
Well, that's where that diversification that we talked about comes in.
Right.
Even if you decide, you know what, I do want to invest in this, you don't go all in.
Right.
You make sure it's a reasonable part of a balanced portfolio.
Yeah.
And you absolutely consider setting that stop loss order to manage your risk.
So even if everyone else is jumping on that bandwagon, you know, we're staying a little bit more grounded, we're using history as our guide, and we're protecting ourselves on the downside, this has been eye-opening.
Well, and remember, this is just the beginning.
Right.
The deeper you dive into, you know, market cycles, behavioral economics, risk management, all of this, the more you start to realize that it's not really about predicting the future.
Right.
It's about understanding the patterns, managing your emotions, and making those informed decisions that are right for you.
It's like that old saying, right? Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. But in this case, it's about remembering those market rhymes so that we can be the ones, you know, writing our own financial success stories. Until next time, happy investing, everyone.